Well, hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have outlined dramatically different proposals for fighting terrorism and gun violence following the deadly Orlando nightclub attacks. The presumptive Republican nominee is vowing to suspend immigration from countries with a history of terrorism, even going so far as to accuse President Obama of sympathizing with radicalized Muslims. On the other side, presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton is warning against demonizing Muslims in response to the attack. What do you think about these reactions from the presidential candidates? Phones are already getting busy. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Let me repeat that number so it's, inscribed on your brain. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can also tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. And you can email us, which is my preferred way of your doing it, at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an exciting time. We'll try to give you a little bit about what Hillary had to say and what Donald had to say. But in the meantime, we will go to the first of three calls that are on the air right now. We're using a brand new system. It's terrific. And Jessica is here teaching me how to do it. So I'll press this little two right there. Okay, you're on. Let's see. That's Mike, right?
Yeah, good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
So you, when you opened up the show, you asked how it would affect the general election.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the people that I even know, I think it's going to polarize it even worse. You've got the pro-gun people who they'll go with the whole saying that, well, what if someone in the club had a gun? Could it have been prevented?
Well, somebody in there, somebody in the club did have a gun, and he got shot to death.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a classic example. And then on the other side, you have the same people who want gun control. So it's just another barrier between the two sides. I think it's just going to get worse and worse.
Well, interesting, Mike. This is fascinating. I could tell you that polls show people want gun control. Huge numbers of people want gun control. Yet the NRA is pervasive. It has tremendous power. The politicians quake in their boots, and they don't want to lose. So that's a tough one. I have no idea at what point we're going to regain our sanity, but right now we don't have it.
It makes us look so bad. The rest of the world looks at us like we're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a point there. Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. All right.
Thank you, Alan.
Let's go to Bill. Delmar. Okay, Bill, you're on.
Yes, there's been a lot of talk in the presidential campaign about the importance of the California primary.
Yeah, yeah.
And last week it was reported that Hillary won by about 400,000 votes, but there were 1 million votes uncounted. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard any more about that. What do you make of that?
I can't make anything more than you can because I don't know about it either. That's two of us who haven't heard more about it. Okay.
Well,
thanks a lot. Bye. Okay, and let's go now to Tom in Medford, Pennsylvania. Tom, it's your turn. Hey, Tom.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify in terms of mass shootings in America that the definition is four or more people killed by a single shooter in a single event.
Right.
And during the Bush administration, there were eight of them. And previous administrations, about the same, 8 to 12. During the Obama administration, we're talking 7 years. This is number 170. So
right.
Something has shifted, and there are anomalies in not only the number, but in the nature of these types of shootings. So I thought I would just clarify that territory.
Well, you're clarifying it, but I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. What you mean that there are more in the Obama administration or what?
Well, obviously there's more. There's 170 compared to in the 8 years of Bush, there were eight of them. So to go to that type of a number, means that some of them have different anomalies than ones that you see or don't hear about that just happen all over America. And looking into those, I think you'll find the answer to your question.
Okay, so my question to you is, why is this happening?
They're politically, strategically important to socially engineer and shift the culture.
I'm so sorry. Maybe I'm tired. It's the fourth program I've done today, but I don't get it. In other words, you think there's some kind of conspiracy that this is going on to shift the culture, the political and social culture of America?
Absolutely. And I think that the number alone is enough to give you enough information to go look into that.
Well, no, you look. You're making the call. Are you implying?
Yeah, no, I've already looked into them. I mean, I spend time looking into those types of things.
Sure.
But the bottom line is also, is the culture being shifted? And the answer would be yes. And
to whose advantage, Tom?
Well, obviously, the agenda is to get rid of the Second Amendment and collect guns, the guns in America.
Yeah,
so part of the agenda.
Could we call you a gun guy?
No, absolutely not. Don't hunt. Do own two small firearms, but not a gun guy. No.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Leslie in Granby, Massachusetts. Okay, Leslie, your turn.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call. If I understood it, this was how the situation in Orlando would affect the presidential contest?
Could
is
be,
that
yes.
Correct?
That's
okay.
Broad enough, yes.
Given the information that has come out today about the fact that the murderer had visited the Orlando club on numerous occasions, I think that the only way in which at this time this should be affecting the presidential race is in talking about religious doctrine and how the indication that somehow being homosexual is not okay, that it's a sin, is a way in which we effectively maim and kill our children. This gentleman was clearly quite ill. He clearly was extremely self-loathing and homophobic, and I really don't think that this has anything to do with his heritage as being the son of Afghani parents. I think it has nothing to do with Islam. I think this has, and I think what happened was that this fellow, you know, kind of in the last moments, threw out all kinds of allegiances, not just to ISIS, but to Hezbollah, to the Tsarnaev brothers that bombed in Boston. He just kind of threw all that stuff out there, and I think that's all pretty much red herring. I think this is about intense homophobia, and having experienced myself and my family in a very conservative Christian family, I'm just aware that the tenets of most major religions that for the most part say that homosexuality is wrong is the way in which we create the kind of pain and murderous rage that we saw play out in Orlando.
Leslie, thanks for your views. Appreciate it very much. All right, we're going to go now to, let's see here. How do I know how long everybody's been waiting? Okay, so I see that, right. So now we'll go to Jesse in Albany. Okay, Jess, it's your turn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't tend to be very encouraged by most of what Trump says, but in listening to his remarks on Orlando, the one encouraging thing I did take away from that was that he pretty unequivocally seemed to support the LGBT community, and I thought that that was refreshing coming from, you know, the conservative side of things and somewhat unexpected for him to be embracing them so wholeheartedly as, maybe it was politically necessary, but I was encouraged by that small piece of his remarks.
Well, interesting. So you think that it's possible he did it out of political need? You know, we keep hearing one out of 10 people in the United States is gay or lesbian or transgender. You know, he would not be the first person to do something politically expedient, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, he couldn't have taken the other tact given given what has happened. But I also don't think that Trump is particularly socially conservative. I don't think he really cares much about that kind of piece of things. And I think
you're
that
right. You're
in
probably
the primary,
right.
He's tacked right because that's what you do in a primary. That's kind of my, my read.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and thanks for your patience and holding on. Appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. George Heigl, Cowan's representative, specializing in evaluating, marketing, and buying and selling of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, and more. 518-396-7974. The Wild Center, featuring the Wild Walk, 1,000 feet of elevated bridges and experiences in the Adirondack treetops. Wildcenter.org for details. And Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years, KentHicksConstruction.com.
I tell you what we're going to do. Zach, our wonderful engineer, I'll give you some instructions and then you'll know what to do, okay? First, I want to hear what we have, a very short Donald Trump, and then a very short Hillary. Go ahead.
We have a dysfunctional immigration system which does not permit us to know who we let into our country, and it does not permit us to protect our citizens properly. We have an incompetent administration, and if I'm elected president, that will not change, I will tell you. That will not change over the next 4 years. We have an administration that will not change. But if I get in there, it's going to change, and it's going to change quickly. We're going from totally incompetent to just the opposite, believe me.
If the FBI is watching you for suspected terrorist links, you shouldn't be able to just go buy a gun with no questions asked. And you shouldn't be able to exploit loopholes and evade criminal background checks by buying online or at a gun show.
Okay, so first you heard the Donald, and then you heard the Hillary. We're back with you. A lot of people on the phones. We have now, instead of five phones, our cracked engineering department has allowed us now to have 10 phones. And no insult intended to our crack people. Okay, now we will go to, let's see here. This looks like the longest on the line would be Sue. So we'll go to Sue. Sue, you're on. So, Sue. Did I do something wrong, Jessica? No. Sue, are you there? Okay. Well, looks like Sue is not there. And we're going to hang up, Sue. I'll count to three. One, two, three. You're out of there. Okay, now we'll go to, let's see here, we'll do it in order. We'll go to Kevin in Saugerties. All right, that's the number three button. Kevin in Saugerties, you're on. Kevin?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
You got to turn the radio off. Did you turn your radio off
yet? It is off.
Okay, that's rule number one. Yeah, go ahead.
The radio is off. I'm not sure what you're hearing.
Well, I was hearing a reverb.
Is that better now?
Reverb. Yes. Go ahead. Talk. What do you got? Bring it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is Kevin calling. I was on your show last fall about, you know, the risk factors, identifying them with these shooters. you may remember.
No, I don't.
So,
but then again, I don't remember.
One point I wanted to make about this guy in Orlando was his coworkers said repeatedly that he told them what he was going to do, when he was going to do it, how he was going to do it. People who do these mass shootings very openly and accurately predict their violence. So when you hear somebody tell you this kind of stuff, if you report it, somebody can intervene. The police can intervene before it happens. That was point one. Point two, your last caller was talking about the number of mass shooting incidents in the Obama administration versus Bush. Well, hello?
Hello. We're listening.
Okay. Okay. So the reason that those numbers are deceiving is because in 2013, the FBI put out a new edition of its crime classification manual wherein they did away with the term spree killing, which is what these used to be called. And now that's been subsumed under one category only, which is mass shooting.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're going to compare apples to apples, you would have to go back prior to 2013 and add together the spree shooters and the mass shooters, okay?
Yep.
And there is, if you go on the web, on the FBI Department of Justice website, they actually have a graph that shows a regression analysis of the total number of victims from mass shootings over almost 100 years. And there has been a gradual progressive decline consistently over that period of time. So
okay,
I just thought I would.
It's very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you very
much.
Thanks a lot. Very helpful.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to Fred now on line number 6. Fred, you're there.
Hi, Alan. Hey. Thank you. I was raised in Vermont, and in Vermont, you have to get an NRA certificate in order to become a hunter. And you go through these courses that train you how to use guns and et cetera. And the people, my family, are mostly hunters. I am not. And I just wanted to state, there are two things that I wanted to discuss. The issues come down to getting down to the nuts and bolts versus, simple fix-its kind of thing. And so in the meantime, having to do with, the registration, the licensing and all that kind of stuff. And it's not universal. It's not statewide. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was that this morning I heard your speak at 7:45.
Yeah, right.
And I've called in a couple times regarding it, left messages, and it has to do with the word huge. There was one sentence where you used huge, huge, huge a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm averse to the idea that of using that lingo anymore, because I've heard the word huge more times in the last year than I've heard it used in my whole life, and I'm 54. And it's like, and when you were using the word huge, huge, it's like actually you were saying bad, bad.
Well,
okay.
Actually, I don't remember my own commentary, and therefore I can't either defend myself or confirm what you're saying. But I think you have a thing about huge, and we'll take it at that, okay?
All right. It's just adding fuel to the fire.
All right.
Is what I'm thinking.
Thanks. It's my fault. Thanks a lot. Let's go to, let's see now, Mike on line number 4. Mike, you're on.
Good afternoon,
hey,
Alan. You have a huge response today to your call. I do want to comment on the gun issue as far as the presidential election. I do think, and it's really sickening to me, that people continue to hide behind the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, it does not give an unfettered right to own all these. And I'm so glad that the Democrats have settled on.
Wait. You said does not. You really mean,
it's
don't
not.
Whoa,
I mean,
whoa, 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 whoa. Well, let me finish. Okay, let me finish just my little interjection and you get to go again. It should be, should not, because the Supreme Court of the United States seems to disagree with you. I don't like that. You don't like it, but it's but they have said anything goes.
Well, to get back to grammar, I think they changed the comma to a semicolon in order to get their Scalia, may he rest in peace, point across. But in any case, I disagree with their interpretation of that clause. But
yeah, but they're the Supreme Court. Even, you're not. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, even so, I can't own a shoulder-fired rocket launcher. I can't own a tank. I can't own probably a flamethrower. I haven't tried. But my point is, these weapons of war, which finally we have some great ways, some great verbiage to describe these, should not be in general society. There should be a limit to, you know, particular weaponry. And obviously those weapons that every few months we hear in the news, you know, Newtown in Orlando,
Mike, hold on a second. I agree with you. I think many of our listeners agree with you. If not most, I'm sure it's most. Now tell me how you're going to get from A to B. How are you going to change it?
Well, we need. I believe there's a silent majority, and we have to. And I'm proud of. You know, I'm a Bernie supporter, but I'm going to vote for Hillary because, you know, I like the way she's coming out, and I like, obviously, a big President Obama supporter. We need to get together and take down the NRA, take them down a few notches, and not be scared by them anymore and intimidated. I want to see Hillary stand up to them, and I start to see some Congress people doing that in the last few days. It's time now. I think we're all sick of just hiding and being intimidated by the right wing and I think a minority that believes the Second Amendment covers every weapon known to man when it doesn't.
I like the cut of your jib. I agree with you, and I thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Eli. Okay, Eli, our old friend Eli. How are you, Eli?
Hey, Alan. You just asked an important question. How do you change it? That's what my call is about.
Sure.
There's a very important book out. It's by a man named David Daley. It's in regards to the title, A Plan to Steal Democracy.
Yep.
What it highlights is the efforts by Karl Rove to gerrymander the country in the favor of the Republican Party. Ingeniously done, totally successful. Most people don't know that in a recent election, House of Representatives election, 5 million more votes were cast for Democratic elected representatives to that House. But the Republicans still won a total of 36 more seats to the House. And this is all created by the ingenious calculations of Karl Rove. And nobody knows about this.
By the way, hey, Eli, when you say nobody, many of us know about it. So don't say nobody, because it's not true.
They don't understand how it's been done, done it.
In Texas, they wiped out the Democratic majority in Congress in their delegation with just one reapportionment. And by the way, they didn't wait the 10 years that everybody else waits. They just did it as soon as they got into power, and they turned everything around. So you're absolutely
right. This has been dozens of states. Every state
right.
where the Republicans hold
legislatures. Want to know another state where it's been done? New York. And believe
Not in the House of Representatives.
Excuse me.
The House of Representatives in New York State was set up by a judge.
Excuse me. Yes, that's true.
Fair.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But it is true also that the New York State Senate is there exclusively because Andrew Cuomo said he would not sign a reapportionment bill in which he would allow the Republicans in the State Senate to draw their own districts. Now, you know that's right, don't you?
And, oh, absolutely. They stabbed Mayor Koch in the back, the Republicans.
Well,
they signed the agreement with him. Then they turned around and said that he was deceptively lying to them.
Okay.
But
he was.
Karl Rove, people have to understand what Karl Rove is and what he does. People know about the voter suppression. This is all created by Karl, starting 10 years ago in the White House.
Eli.
He created the entire situation with voter suppression. And these are plots by him. And these are real conspiracies.
Eli?
They really do exist.
Eli?
They have been incredibly successful.
Okay, but it's come around three times, and you know my rule. When it comes around the second time, bad. When it comes around the third time, goodbye. So, for now, goodbye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We've only got two people on the phone. We were up to 10. So if you want to call and get your voice on the radio right now, this is a great time to do it. It's an important subject, and I really want you to call. 1-800-348-2551. We will go now to Roger. Roger, go.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I just wanted to briefly comment on the call made by an earlier person talking about how there were eight what he called mass murders or during the Bush administration versus 100 and something during the Obama administration. I think we need to keep in mind here is, was it not for, or were it not for the Bush administration destabilizing the Middle East by giving us lies about WMDs, we may not have ISIS. So we have, in my opinion, we have W, Cheney, Wolfie et al. To thank for the shootings in the country right now.
Okay, thanks for that. Appreciate
it.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to, let's see here. We'll go to ER. Okay, ER, you're on. Oh, did I do something wrong? What did I do? Oh, boy. That was bad. Oh, I see. Okay, then we'll go to Stacy. Okay, Stacy, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
I just want to say, hey, I think it's interesting that on the Republican side and the Democrat side, like both sides called for like a revolution of sorts. And I think ISIS is really just like forces, like Cheney and Bush and the conservatives are forces. And even if they drew their own districts, so fucking what? Because, I'm sorry.
Wait a second.
Because.
No. You. I'm sorry. We're going to have to hang up on you because you can never use a word that you just used. Now, we caught it because we have a dump button here. But the fact of the matter is you cannot use a word like that on the radio. We'll get fined. We won't be here because you do that. So don't do it. And yes, and we hung up. We did hang up. Okay. So I'm so sorry. But that cannot be done.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one?
Two.
Number two. All right. Okay. John, you're on.
Hey, Alan. How are you doing?
Just don't use any bad words. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can definitely hear you. I said, just don't use any bad words.
I wanted to offer just a little bit of perspective on the gut on something one of your previous callers said about about how at work a shooter talked about killing people.
Yep.
And I actually work as, I'm actually a crisis counselor, so I would be somebody who.
Hello.
But that, or you know, I work with the cops who sometimes who would make that decision too. And I think it's good that people report it, but I hate to say it, but based, you know, if he was to say like, oh yeah, I'm going to kill people, I'm going to he has no real record of having tried to kill massive amounts of people before, and
right.
Then denies it.
However, hey, John, hey,
not sure how you make do anything about that.
Hey, John, there's a report today, I believe on CNN, that says that the wife knew he was going to do it. And that the wife knew he was going to do it, and she's cooperating with the police now, but she didn't call.
Right. I mean, it's important. I want to say people should call. I mean, it's the more reports from more reporters that this is a possibility, the better one can prevent it.
Absolutely.
You see right now.
Yeah. You see something, you say something. Thanks a lot. Okay. Now we're going to go to, yes, right here? Yeah. Now we're going to go to, there? Why there? Okay. We're going to, oh, I see. Faith. Okay, Faith, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I'm just calling to respond to the gentleman who called earlier about the California primary results.
Right.
It's actually 2.5 million votes that haven't been counted yet since the majority of the state has mail-in ballots. And Bernie actually flipped three counties yesterday.
Yep.
So The AP reporting that Hillary's won at 100% is kind of misleading, and they haven't been 100% counted yet. Just want to put that out there.
All right.
And that's, one more thing, actually, yes, that sure. I want to say that I think is ironic is that Hillary said that, you know, if you're being investigated by the FBI, you should have a gun. I completely agree with that. But I'd also like to point out, if you're being investigated by the FBI, you maybe should be able to run for president.
If you're being investigated by the FBI, you shouldn't run for president, which is a slam at Hillary, right? That's what you're doing.
Well, no, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just,
well, you're a Bernieite, that's clear. You're telling us that you're undercounting in California, and now you're telling us that since there's an investigation going on, you shouldn't be allowed to run for president. But, you know...
I mean,
yes, I disagree, because anybody can make an accusation. I voted for Bernie, as you know. But I think that, you know, anybody can make an accusation. Anybody can have an investigation. The governor's office is being investigated in New York. We all know that. So you know, that would disqualify a lot of people. Just as soon as somebody makes an accusation, sometimes unfounded. No, I don't think that's right. So we do disagree. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
No, we'll agree to disagree. Thanks, Alan.
Okay. Bye. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Okay. We'll go to John in Woodstock. John, you're on.
Hi. We started the conversation or the questions relative to Donald Trump talking about limiting immigration.
Yep.
And then played Hillary talking about limiting the ability to buy firearms.
Yeah.
And based on that, I want to say that beyond the firearm issue, it's very complicated because there are people who like guns for whatever reason. There are people who hunt. And what, you know, the whole idea of the right to bear arms was to prevent another reoccurrence of a totalitarian takeover by people who control the population
in a
way they wouldn't, and that we have a democracy.
Okay, we got that one.
Based on that, I wanted to say something about firearms, and that is, in these terrorist attacks and in these unstable people doing what they do, in the name of ISIS or in the name of the boogeyman or in the name of whatever, a car is a deadly weapon. I worked in Times Square. Someone could just come down the street, plow down 50 people.
And somebody tried. Tried.
A can of gasoline is a deadly weapon. A hammer is a deadly weapon.
Yeah. Okay.
And guns, you know, and automatic weapons make it easier. But there are a lot of deadly weapons now.
Okay. Whoa! You said that already. Now you got something new or not?
Yeah.
Okay. What's new?
Relative to Mr. Trump limiting immigration, I think it would do very well. Because most of these people who come here from the Muslim country is Pakistan, and most of them come on H-1B visas. Okay, there are 175,000 H-1B visas that Clinton put in after there was something like 90,000. All these people, for whatever reason, seem to work in tech and IT, and all those
I'm
getting off the subject, but those kids who come out of college are at best working in retail.
You know what? You know what? Hey. You know what? When the Jews came to America, they said that about the Jews. They were dangerous. You couldn't trust them. The Irish came to America. They said the same thing. Now you're saying about Muslim. And I appreciate your call, and you've made your point, and goodbye. Okay, so now we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Unusual Wedding Rings & More, 137 North Street, downtown Pittsfield, announcing their retirement on August 1st, providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples. UnusualWeddingRings.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting Letters to Sala, the account of a Polish teen and Nazi slave laborer. June 26th, 7 p.m. at Skidmore College. SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org for details. And Union Gables Mansion in Saratoga Springs, celebrating 25 years, providing a historic bed and breakfast with hotel amenities to individuals and businesses. UnionGables.com.
Okay, here we go for the end of the show. It's 2:43 now. We're counting down. All right, Elaine, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about the gun debate,
yep,
which I've been concerned about for so many years. It seems so sad.
Yep.
But I look online. I talk to people. It is so polarizing. How will you ever get people to change their mind when they're in, it seems, one camp or the other?
Well, I think that's I think that's a great question, and I just want to point out to you that every time there's one of these tragedies, I had a conversation this morning with Representative Elizabeth Esty, who I love, who is the congresswoman from Northwest Connecticut, and who had to sit with the grieving parents of Sandy Hook. And, you know, I have a feeling that our collectivity begins to register this. That's what happened with gay marriage. It was impossible, it was impossible, it was impossible. And then the logic just became overwhelming, and it happened, and it happened as if it were a lightning bolt. I think that's going to happen here, too. At least I hope so. Okay, thanks a lot.
I wish it would.
Okay, yeah, I know you do. Thanks a lot. All right, let's go to Jeffrey in Kingston. Jeffrey, you're on. Jeffrey, is this your first call today?
This is my first call. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, very much so.
All right. So I just wanted to, I just think that if we're going to live in a society where there's guns and the Congress is going to allow everybody to have, assault weapons and everything, they really should allocate a tremendous amount more money to mental health in this country.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of really, really sick people. I mean, I don't believe in terrorism. I believe that people are either healthy or they're sick, and people who blow themselves up and kill other people are sick. And if they're not going to control the guns, then they should spend a lot more money on mental health.
You know what I say? Should schmud. You're absolutely right. There's no question about it. But they've never shown any great propensity to do that up until now. And I think as long as the contemporary majorities are in charge of both of those houses, it ain't going to happen.
I didn't say it was going to happen.
No, I know. I know. I'm agreeing with you. Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay. And now we're going to go to, let's see here, to Mark. Mark, you're on.
Hi. Just as in terms of gun control.
Yeah.
Well, my father was a gun collector, and he had pistols and revolvers, and he had 8-gauge shotguns that were for riot control from police from Winchesters, and he never shot a gun practically in his whole adult life. He just liked to have the collection, and he wanted me to get a pistol permit. Now, it's very arduous to get one. You have to have three people who have gun permits in Washington County who know you and can verify for you before you can even apply. It goes past a judge, it goes through an FBI search, and it costs some money, and eventually you get your handgun control.
Mm.
Now, New York State has some of the best gun control laws in the country.
Yep.
And I think what we need is uniform gun control laws throughout the country, meaning everybody should have something similar to what New York
has. Okay, stop right there. How are you going to get it through Congress?
Well, how am I going to get it through Congress?
You know what you think should happen.
It's a conundrum. It's like the Sphinx. You have to hope that Hillary Clinton will win, and people will wake up, and we can get it passed through the Democratic Congress if we get one, if the coattails are big enough. Trump is, I don't think, stands a chance. Not really. I think all this is hoopla and stuff, and when people come to their senses, they'll realize he's just a jerk. And so we'll have, should have a continued Democratic government that's committed to something for all of us. But uniform gun control law is what we need.
Okay, that's number two. That's you said that. Is there anything else you want to say that's new?
No, that's basically
okay. You
it.
Made your point, and you made it well. Thank you very much, Mark. Okay, let's go to Frederica in Ulster County. Frederica, you're on.
Yes, thank you. You said my name very well. Thank you. I think that if people who wanted to buy guns, particularly semi-automatic weapons, which is ridiculous, unless you're on the front lines of a war, but, you know, if people who wanted to buy semi-automatics or any guns were put through the same hoops as women who want to get an abortion in Utah,
right,
or any number of states, you know, women get abortions to protect themselves and their families from all kinds of terrible, terrible trauma, like poverty and not enough love or abusive partners. And so I really believe that, you know, this last resort of abortion in terms of a reproductive choice is really about
Frederica.
Protecting oneself. Frederica,
you've changed the subject. Let's stay with the guns.
It's all the same thing. It's about to protect. Yeah, it is, because people say they, you know, mostly you hear men saying, you know, they need to be able to defend themselves and their families.
Okay, I get the point.
And that's why they should have guns. Mm-hmm. And that's why it should be easy to have guns. And I say that women and their reproductive rights are almost exactly the same thing as men and their gun rights.
Okay.
And if men were, or anybody who wanted to buy a gun, had to go through the same hoops that women have to go through in order to fulfill their rights.
Okay, Frederica, we're coming to the end of the program. You made your point again. You made it well, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's go to Chris in Petersham. Okay, Chris, you're on.
Hi. My thought's been for a long time that maybe it's time to look at the Second Amendment and either change it or repeal it. And because it seems outdated, and that stuff about the militias and stuff, I never quite understood that.
Sure.
My other comment is the NRA, I see these bumper stickers that says, NRA, stand up and fight, and I can't help but wonder whom they want to fight.
Well, they want to fight the people who want to take their guns away.
Yeah, but that, well, I was reading a magazine the other day that just I was getting my car fixed, and I picked up this magazine, and they're talking about how, you know, a government could take away people's rights, and we have to have guns to defend ourselves and stuff. And it seems almost like they're advocating fighting the government somehow.
Well, it may be. And, of course, as has been pointed out on this program already today, that was the reason for the Second Amendment in the first place.
Yeah. I never understood the wording of the Second Amendment where, you know, it says, you know, for the states to have militias and stuff, wouldn't that be referring to, like, the National Guard?
Well, that's the argument. The downside of that is that you're not the Supreme Court, as I've already said. Get it?
Yeah, but so maybe
I agree with you. I agree with you. The real question now is an action plan about how to get it changed.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up getting an amendment to the Constitution. I suggest to you that's not going to happen. Because all it takes is a few states that say no, to this. I think it's much more likely that if you get a Democratic president of the United States and she appoints the next three or four justices to the United States Supreme Court, you might find a different interpretation of the Second Amendment rulings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be good.
Well, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay. Let's go to Caroline. All right, Caroline in Woodstock. It's got to be quick. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to make a couple comments. One is, you know, I think that the gun issue is something to be really, you know, present with Hillary Clinton, and I think that we're going to be really surprised at how far she reaches in and changes things.
Okay.
And I'm really hoping that this is true because it has to. But, you know, this is what happened in Orlando is about some other things, too. And I think that we all have to realize that there's so many different levels that this has to be addressed on. Mm. And it's not just gun control, and it's not just, you know, Islamic fundamentalism or mental health, but health, all of them all together. And I think that people do kind of become polarized because they get into their camp about one thing or another. And you cannot underestimate the power of belief with these people, with anybody, you know, myself included, with the things that, you know, I find important in life. And I think that that in itself has got to be really addressed. And I hope, I mean, I listened to Hillary Clinton and what she had to say, and I think that she is taking an approach where she is, you know, being a little bit, having, you know, you don't want to be cowardly about things, you know, it doesn't help anybody. So, you know,
you think
I'm
she's
just
being
giving my thumbs up to her.
Okay, but you don't think you don't think she's being cowardly, or you do?
No, I don't. I hope that she's not going to be. The way that I heard her address things was, you know, that, you know, Islam is not a race. Islam is an ideology. There's a big difference there, and I think that a lot of people get it really confused when you talk about Islam. They think that you're referring to a race of people. And, you know, this has to be made clear for one thing. I mean, ideologies are ideologies. They're belief systems that, you know, if you're mentally unstable or you're raised in a fundamentalist
Just for clarification, what's Jewish?
What?
Just for clarification.
Excuse me?
What's Jewish?
Well, you know, to me, it is a race. It's not really an ideology because of the way that it has been interpreted in the modern society.
And what's Catholic?
But Islam is not, Islam to me is not a race of people.
Okay.
You know, it's it's an ideology.
You don't think it's a religion?
It is a religion because religion is ideology.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't understand the difference.
Okay. And that's, I'm having a hard time with that too. Yeah. Listen, I got
to
go because I want to get everybody in here. Thank you. Let's go to Diane. Diane, you got to keep it short. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. I think the last two female callers you had are very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion for you is if you want to stop using the word huge so often, you might want to substitute Trump's phrase of really, really bigly.
By the way, have you heard me once say the word huge other than to repeat what somebody said? First of all,
no,
I don't believe
giving
it.
Giving you
yes.
a chuckle.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You've got to use really, really bigly.
Gotcha. I heard you. Okay. What do you got?
I got, well, just that I think when Hillary's president, a good choice for a Supreme Court would be Elizabeth Warren. And secondly, I think Bernie's being very cranky and vindictive these days.
Okay.
And that's all I've got.
You got good. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye, Alan.
All right, bye. Let's go to Thomas in Glens Falls. Okay, Thomas, real quick. We're almost out of time.
Very, very quickly. Hi there. I'm calling because so far this has been a very interesting show, but I haven't heard anybody treat this as a health issue.
Yep.
I can't think of anything else where we have this level of loss of life and we don't invest research into why it happened.
Because it's forbidden in the United States Congress. They won't let you do it.
Exactly my point. And so basically the reason I'm calling is to implore listeners, regardless of how you feel on this issue, to contact your representative and ask why we aren't looking into it. Because if you have such strong feelings, obviously research will just reinforce it, right? So why not? Why not jump in there?
Okay, that's your point.
And that's all I had to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. But there are a lot of people we left on the thing. David in Saratoga County, Nick from Westfield, James from Highland, Lee from Ulster, and Greg from Clifton Park. I'm so sorry, all of you. This was a great show. I'm sorry if you don't want me to keep it moving along, I do. But I got rules, and that's just the way it is. So thank you all for participating today. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incredibly talented Zach Malloy, who saved us from a very substantial fine. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. She is terrific. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now, everybody, for a news update.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD.